We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
All right, you want to switch gears and talk a little hoops?
Absolutely. That was a heck of a game. I was a little nervous, I'm not going to lie.
When were you at your most nervous, I guess?
When they walked out for the tip.
And you saw the size of Ole Miss.
They have serious size and serious length. Yes. You know what I mean? And they dwarfed Notre Dame.
Right.
They absolutely did. And I was like, I leaned over to my father-in-law who I was sitting with. And I was like, this team is long, you know, and if you think about where Notre Dame could potentially get hurt, it would be down low in the paint. It would be with, you know, long athletic defenders, you know, the whole thing. And I was looking at their schedule and it's like some of the losses that they had were a couple possessions. You know, there were some close losses in there.
They had, and I said this to a couple different people, they had 8 losses coming in to that game. And of those 8 losses, only one came to a team that didn't make the NCAA tournament. And that was their biggest rival, Mississippi State.
Okay.
And they split their 2 games with Mississippi State. Mississippi State won 21 games and didn't make the tournament. You know, they had 2 losses to LSU. They had a loss to South Carolina. They had a loss to Louisville. They had a loss to Texas A&M. All those teams made the NCAA tournament. I was shocked that they were even a number 7 seed just based on
looking
at that. But I think if they had managed to pull out 1 or 2 of those wins, they probably would have been like a 4 or 5 seed potentially. But they were a 7 because they lost all those games, you know. But you're absolutely right. And just watching them against Marquette the other day, that was a real, you know, grinding kind of game. And, you know, the worry was, with the numbers that they have and the length that they have, that they would find a way to sort of make Notre Dame play ugly this afternoon. But
yeah, absolutely.
That never happened.
And that's the thing. Like my fears were squashed pretty quickly because Notre Dame came out of the gate absolutely on fire and Ole Miss couldn't hit a shot to save their life. So now a lot of that had to do with Notre Dame playing really good defense and not allowing Ole Miss to get into the paint, which I thought was a very sound way to go about defending Ole Miss, right? But they couldn't hit their jumpers, man. They could not hit their jumpers.
But that was part of the game plan.
Because right.
Notre Dame stayed in that zone all game, and they kept them from being able to use their athleticism and drive to the basket. And they basically made Ole Miss settle on those jump shots.
Yes.
They're like, they only attempted 5 3-pointers Saturday against Marquette. And they're like, they're not a 3-point shooting team. They didn't even, as a team, they didn't even have 100 3-pointers made coming into today's
game. Okay. Well, there you go.
Like that. And I think they ended up 3 of 12 on 3-pointers.
And they were very clearly almost inviting them to shoot threes. Like they were not really extending that zone out beyond the 3-point line. You know what I mean? Ole Miss wasn't even looking to shoot those threes. I mean, they would get the ball open beyond the arc and they were looking to pass. I mean, they weren't even looking to shoot. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And Notre Dame had them rattled too. I mean, I'm surprised, you know the names better than I do, but number 24, she should have gotten teed up a couple different times.
right.
Notre Dame had him rattled, which was fantastic. And part of that I will partially take credit for because it was the fans, you know, doing their thing. But, because that was a great environment for that game, and Notre Dame came out with a great game plan, and they executed it. They were on fire offensively. I think they were shooting 60% in the first half, whereas Ole Miss was shooting like 38 or 37%. Mm-hmm. It was a great game by Notre Dame. And then they kind of put it in cruise control and kept it at about 20 the rest of the way. But it was a great game.
Well, in 24, Madison Scott, she's one of two, her and number two for you, since you didn't, and again, Davis, they were both first team all SEC players.
Okay.
And, they obviously two of their top scorers. Davis ended up with 6 points today. Scott had 15. One of a couple players who ended up in double figures, but like a lot of that actually came late, I think, for Scott as well. And I was just really impressed with how, Notre Dame was just able to stick with that zone defense, and they kept it active. And what impresses me is like, not just impresses me, I guess, but like Hannah Hidalgo is just so active at the top of the zone. Like that's how you can get away. Her ability to close out up there, at the top of that, like that's how you can stay in zone. So, if the other team is not hitting threes, but having such a great defensive player like that who can close out the way she's capable of is just huge, I think.
Well, And you know what? I really was impressed with the way Anna DeWolf played, not on both sides of the floor, because she played some good defense in that zone as well and did a good job of not fouling when Ole Miss was trying to drive the lane and she would get in the way and her hands straight up in the air. And she also offensively was driving to the basket a little bit more than she normally does, which I thought kind of caught Ole Miss a little off guard at times.
Citron would like, she would kind of spot a match. I think it was like, she realized who was defending her a couple of different times and she got to the basket got to the hole.
Yeah.
And I thought that was part of the game plan. Just doing that, by the way, Citron after the game, she played all 40 minutes Saturday against Kent State. She didn't come out today until there was 16.7 seconds left in the game. She hit a couple of free throws to end her day with 17 points. Double-double, by the way, 17 and 10. Her ninth career double-double, first this season. And she came over and did the post-game interview. And I kind of gave her a hard time. I was like, I don't know, Sony. You're kind of slacking a little bit. And she looked at me like, you think I was slacking? And I was like, you came out with 16.7 seconds left. You played all weekend. Like you're slacking off. You're coming out in the last 16 seconds. It just amazing what she was able to give them, because of course she tied her career high with 29 points on Saturday and then goes double-double today. And she was basically the only player who never left the floor until the game was obviously, well out of reach there in the last 16 seconds.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it. 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
She was a monster on the boards. Like, I always expect her to score and find ways to score and, you know, doing all that kind of stuff. But she was a monster on the boards. And it wasn't just getting those long rebounds, you know, from distant shots and things like that. She was mixing it up in the trees down there underneath the basket and coming out with some of those boards. And that was not an easy task because, like I said, Ole Miss, yes, Ole Miss out-rebounded Notre Dame overall for the game. But she was battling some trees down there from Ole Miss. Like, they are so long.
Well, and like I said, like, they're playing zone, and usually because you're playing zone, the spacing, you're not rebounding that well. But here she is, a guard, leading everybody with 10 rebounds today.
Yeah, right. I mean, it was an impressive showing all around. They had some fire to them today, and I don't know if part of it was, you know, yeah, if you win, you're going to the Sweet 16. I'm sure that had something to do with it. I think some of it had to do with the fact that they know this is their last game at Notre Dame, you know, on the floor for this season, and, you know, all of those different things. But they came out with something to prove in the first half, especially. I mean, both, for sure, on both sides of the floor. They were moving the basketball and doing some great things. And I'll tell you what, Maddie Westbell, we haven't talked about her yet. She was unconscious there for a little while, but like there was a couple shots that she took, and I leaned over to Chuck. I was like, that's a risky shot. And it was like nothing but the bottom of the net. You know what I mean? Like, she was feeling it. There's no doubt.
Well, and that's when she's rolling like that. She ended up with 20 points. She was 8 of 13. She, She had a slow start Saturday. She missed her five shots, and then I think she was like 4 of 8 after that, kind of got going a little. Apparently, she had a little bit of a tight back. But, I mean, basically, when Maddie Westbelt is on like that, that is just a good sign for Notre Dame across the board when she's going like that.
Oh, man.
She was today.
She was mid-range, underneath, you know, from distance. I mean, she was on fire offensively. There's no doubt about that.
Guys, Olivia Miles is not playing this year. I appreciate the fact that you want her to play, and many people think that she needs to play. She's not playing this year. You can lay out all this stuff about she's going pro. It's not just about preserving the year of eligibility. It's about preserving her health and coming back at 100%. Like, we just got done talking about Riley Leonard, and, you know, like, did Riley Leonard maybe push it a little bit too hard after his January surgery? And look where it is. Olivia Miles is not coming back this year. Okay. So it's just, that's what it is. Like, in the injury stuff, you could petition for it. Petitions don't always go your way. They petitioned a couple of years ago for Maya Dotson, who transferred in from Stanford and, you know, had a medical reason when she was at Stanford. The NCAA didn't grant it. You know, it is not necessarily about Olivia protecting the year of eligibility as much as it is about just being 100% healthy. And she is practicing with the team right now. It's like, you know, she's been practicing for a while, and she's helping the team in that practice capacity.
And they decided that she's not ready to play, period. Right. It has nothing to do with any of that other stuff, like that, she's not ready to play.
Right. And Jimmy, you're saying if she's healthy, you don't know if she's 100% healthy.
Right.
Like that's
the thing.
That's the thing. And it's her decision. Like, she has decided that she's not coming back this year. She announced that in January. And just because the team is where they are right now, she's not coming back this year. So, move past that and look at what they've got on the floor.
Be excited about the 7 players that played today. You know what I mean? Be excited about that and what they're able to do and going to the Sweet 16 for, you know, the 3rd time in 3 years and all that fun stuff. So it's okay. It's okay to be happy.
Salty, I don't know if you're calling me out or if you're like crediting me, but he said, anyone noticed that Notre Dame season went into superdrive after my bullshit rant?
I mean
that this came up at the pre tournament press conference the other day. Sonia Citron talked a little bit about the players only meeting that they had that we talked about last week, I think, like after the ACC tournament, the meeting that Maddie Westbelt called for after that loss to NC State, which was when I, you know, went off on this show a little bit about some of the stuff that we were getting. Sorry, Father David. I was just quoting, you know,
in front of a priest too.
What's on there?
What's wrong with you?
Yeah, I mean, 10 wins in a row now. Right. 10 wins in a row since Maddie Westbelt called the players only meeting.
Just saying.
ACC championship, and now they're in the Sweet 16.
Right. Yep.
What did you think about the offense though? Like overall, what we saw in the offense today.
Number one, offense always looks better when you're hitting your shots, and they were shooting like 60%, which, you know, that's a pretty impressive offensive day. But there were certain things that they were doing. Like, they almost ran a version of the picket fence at one time for Sonia, and she was wide open. She just went through a bunch of screens and then, you know, came out underneath and, just wide open for a layup. I was like, I think that was the picket fence.
Don't get caught watching the paint dry.
That was great. I thought that the Nat Marshall also, or I'm sorry, Cass Prosper, 15. I'm an idiot.
You had it right the first time. Injured. Nat Marshall. Thank
you. Nat Marshall. I thought her offensive game was way better than the last time I saw her play. Now, getting an opportunity to play more obviously will help that. But I thought she had a really good game, and she was facilitating some other people that fast break that they had. And the people around me, you know, when she gave up,
I was going to bring that up
to get it over to Anna over in the corner.
Fast break, Hidalgo to Nat Marshall in the paint. She catches it with the left. It really wasn't even a complete catch. like a little touch pass spin to DeWolf down in the right corner, and DeWolf nails the three-pointer. Like, you could not have drawn it up any better. That was just perfection. Marshall had 5 assists in this game.
Yeah. And she had some nice moves on the post, too. She had this one up and under kind of a deal that she was doing. And look, she's kind of coming into her own a little bit. I mean, I know it's maybe not as fast as some people may have wanted, but hey, it's tournament time and this is the time to do it. I thought she had a really nice game, and they showed on the big screen after that DeWolf three and the assist by her. You know, Anna was like up in her face. She's like, that's what I'm talking about. You know, like, they'd obviously talked about, you know, getting the ball and moving the ball and all that other stuff. And, you know, she came through and that was huge. People around me were like, no, don't pass it away. I'm like, this could be good. I said that out loud. I'm like, this could be good. And then she nails it from the corner, and it was awesome.
Yeah. DeKalb is asking if Marshall was highly recruited. I want to say she was a 5-star coming out of school. She came into school with an injury, though. You know, she came into college with a little bit of an injury. I think it was more than a little bit of an injury. It's been 4 years ago, so I can't remember all the details. And that was my first season as well. But yeah, I mean, she's, you know, like, she's shown some flash, and you know, she's picked up 4 fouls in each of these two
games.
They're
gonna have to be careful with that, because Maddie had 4 fouls today too.
And that's both games now. They've each had 4, and they were fortunate that they were able to have the lead, you know, in both games, and it didn't really come into play. But you know, that's like, if you're gonna, like, the one critique, that's something. I still like watching both of these games, though. It's like, some of these fouls that are called, it's like, I just a little bit ticky tack when you're talking about NCAA tournament games.
And
on both sides, I'm not just talking about
But I did feel like, there was a couple that they called on Ole Miss at the top, you know, on Hannah Hidalgo, that didn't seem like much of a foul. Like, there was some kind of touch fouls up there. And then, you know, in the second half, I felt like the refs kind of facilitated a little bit the little run that Ole Miss made there. I think they got it down to maybe 12 or 13. But that I felt like the assist went to the refs on that a little bit.
Yeah. And that was kind of the pivotal moment, when I think it was about the time that Marshall picked up her 4th foul, and then they did cut it to like a 13 or a 14 point game. It's like, okay. Cause there was still like a little under 8 minutes left. You know, you're barely starting the 4th quarter. It's like, what's going to happen here? But again, they responded.
Yes. Oh, 100% they responded. And they never get it. They obviously never let it get any lower than 12 or 13 or whatever it ended up being. But and they kind of, you know, dropped the hammer there towards the end. But I mean, look, it always feels like Notre Dame has kind of an off quarter, sometimes maybe even off half.
Yeah.
And that was not the case today at all. That was not the case as far as putting points on the board. You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about?
Like the fourth quarter, I think they scored 10 points. Points in the fourth quarter. And I think they were like 2 of 17 or something like that. But at the same time, it's
they
like,
they also took the foot off the gas. Like,
that's what I was, they were taking the air out of the ball, just which we were talking about that in the post game a little bit. It can go both ways, you know, like, do you keep attacking?
Right.
Or, you know, do you, you know, just use some clock and there were once or twice where, you know, shot selection probably wasn't the absolute best, you know, like a little too early in the shot clock, or maybe you settle for a jumper or that kind of thing. But I felt like, and this is a great point by Keith as well, because he said Neil has always been good with her timeouts, and they called another timeout, you know, at that point where Ole Miss was starting to creep back in it, and they made some adjustments. They came back out. The game stabilized. And like during this 10-game win, and even before that, but during this 10-game win streak, we've seen a lot of those strategic timeouts by Neil Ivey, where they, you know, kind of come over, let's regroup, let's make these minor adjustments, and then things have ended up working out after that. Stem the tide and keep on holding.
Yep. She didn't need to call a bunch of timeouts because her team was in complete control of that game. And then when it felt like, I don't want to say slipping away, because that's not the right, it wasn't slipping away. It's just some momentum had changed sides a little bit. You know what I mean? And so it was a really good timeout by Neil. There's no doubt about that.
Right. So Jimmy put in a super chat, and he wants to keep talking about Olivia Miles.
She's not 100%.
He says, if she's 100%, why wouldn't you play her? One, you don't know if she's 100%, and I don't think she is 100%. And two, it's not just the coach's decision. This is a player coming back from a major injury, and it is not just this season that is at stake. It is her future health. It is her decision, and her decision is, she's not going to play the rest of this season. I don't know how to make it any more clear than that. Like I said the last time when we were talking about this 5 minutes ago, you can want her to play as much as possible, but she's not going to play this season because it's not just a year of eligibility and a run in the NCAA tournament that's at stake for her. For her, it is also her health and making sure that, you know, she's not just going to be able to come back for a couple games and, you know, maybe not help the team this year. It's also about her future, both at Notre Dame and beyond. There's just a lot at risk because she's coming back from a major knee injury.
Correct. I don't know what else you can say more clear than that. Yeah, I don't know what else you can say.
And there's all this. You know, talk about, if she plays, you know, their 4-game limit and all this stuff. The NCAA's rules are, you know, so stupid to begin with because the games, you know, that you like, they have to be at the front of the season for some reason. You know, so again, like if she came back, like even though she would only play potentially, you know, like say they go to the national championship game and she does only play in 4 games, because they're at the end of the season, you would still have to petition for the year of eligibility, and you don't know how the NCAA is going to rule in that case.
Sure. And why would you take that chance?
Right.
There's no point.
Right.
There's no point.
DK was saying this earlier. I'm not sure what we were talking about. He said, post a pick, I'm local. I think it was at the start of the show. I'm not exactly sure what we were talking about. But
I mean, Sean will post you whatever picks you want.
Yeah, within reason. DJ said he didn't watch the game, listen to Karen and I the whole game. Thank you, sir. I do appreciate it. Hopefully we did it justice. It was a pretty fun game to call, though.
I bet. I mean, like I said, a lot of firepower early. So get your wheels all greased up, ready to roll.
Well, you know, and this is Keith brings up another good point on the Miles. You know, like at this point, even though she has been practicing, you know, with the team, it's still a matter of you are, what is it, like 34, 35 games into the season. And now you're just going to, you know, it's not as easy as just slipping another player into the rotation at this point, even if she was 100%.
Right. So. Exactly.
All right. Couple other questions here. At the end, Andre said, Big Three does it again. And, of course, the Big Three is referring to Hidalgo, Westbeld, and Citron. KK is becoming Jackie Young. I believe she has the skill to become that fourth scoring option. I think she can. It's just like with her, because she's not a three-point shooter, you know, so it's like she's mid-range and get to the basket. And, like, you know, you'll see her post up every now and then. It's like she's still kind of – I think that's probably her off-season mission is to continue to sort of refine that shot and find her shot a little bit more. But I think you're right. I think she can be for sure. And then, you know, we're talking about next year. You throw Miles into the mix, and I think it's just going to look a lot different anyway.
And then there's the other gal who came in with Hidalgo. She's a three-point, you know, shooting ace. And, you know, they're going to have – Nielle's going to have a good problem on her hands. Let's just put it that way.
Right.
A lot of talent.
Yeah, USMA 87 said the ESPN announcers were not good Saturday. The coach, former player, had loose dentures or something. Impossible. I think it was the same crew that was there today.
I'm sure.
As well. Yeah. Fortunately, I was not listening, so I can't.
No. You're sitting right next to him, but yeah, you can't hear anything.
Can't hear. Decaf says, 10 Our Fathers, 10 Hail Marys after the show. All right.
Hey, you were just reading what the guy said. Like, that was your words. You were quoting
something. I guess I could have said BS and conveyed the same message. I mean,
it is what it is, you know.
Did you see the Andrew? Did you see the cheap shot on Caitlin Clark? Total bush league. She should get used to that when she goes to the. Did you see that over the weekend?
Yeah, a little forearm. Social media. Shiver
to yeah, and face. Andrew Perloff, you know, McLovin, formerly of the Dan Patrick Show. Did you see his tweet where he was defending the other player that saying it wasn't intentional?
I thought. Oh yeah, I did see that.
I don't know how anyone could watch that. I mean, she swung an elbow up at Clark's
face. Yeah, no, it was 100% intentional. And I mean, yeah, I my favorite situation involving Caitlin Clark was when her dad told her to shut up.
That was hilarious.
That was my favorite part. It's like, stop complaining and play the game. Shut up. Like, that was fantastic. That was awesome.
And apparently, you know, like reading that Wright Thompson article we were talking about last week, that's kind of one of the things that maybe turned some coaches off. And maybe, you know, turn Gino off. I don't know. It was like
rashness, basically.
Some of that. Like, you know, let's be honest. If it was Wojo or, you know, JJ Redick or, you know, Grayson Allen, if Caitlin Clark was a dude and played for Duke, basically, that's, you know, like those kind of guys, everyone would hate Caitlin Clark, basically.
Yeah, but for sure.
Because of that kind of stuff. But
you're not wrong.
Yeah. You know, and that's, you know, some of the stuff last year from the national championship game. Angel Reese kind of got all the flack at the end, you know, like showing the ring and all that, you know, talking. But like, if you watch Caitlin Clark very much, you know that she's a talker. Mm-hmm. So she's doing that kind of stuff as well. So it's not like, you know, it's not like she's an angel. She's a great player, but it's not like she's an angel.
Still enjoy dad, because dad is always dad.
That's right. Father David says she's Christian Leitner, basically. I mean, that's a good one as well. But Father David, I also do appreciate the fact that you already cleared me. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
He's got that kind of power, man. That's,
I can sleep easier tonight. Yeah. That's right.
Seriously.
Andrew, do you guys believe Otani when he says he never bet on sports? He had his presser today, pinned it all on his assistant.
Do I believe that he never bet on sports? Not especially. Do I believe he had a betting problem? No. I think the assistant had a betting problem. You know, did he throw a couple bets here and there? Probably. But I don't think this is a big time issue.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
I do believe Otani when he says that he didn't, but the fact that the interpreter slash assistant, whatever, like he was basically doing the legwork. You know, like I think that Otani might not have been putting down the wagers himself, which is smart, but I think that the connection to this guy, you know, this guy was, they were connected at the hip.
I think that's fair. I do. I think that's, I don't think
he was smart enough not to do it himself.
Right. I don't think the assistant was just the leg man though. Like I don't.
Well, yeah. And that's, right, you know whatever, what I mean? However you want to term it. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. I think, you know, the assistant had some issues with gambling. I mean, $4.5 million debt, that's pretty, it's pretty major. That's a pretty substantial number. I don't think that that was Shohei particularly, but are you telling me he never placed one bet? I got a little harder problem with that.
Right.
I'll just say that.
Right. Well, so the Notre Dame women are off to the Sweet 16. It's the 20th overall for them. Third straight Sweet 16. They'll play third seed Oregon State this weekend. They'll play Friday in Albany, New York, in the Albany 1 region. And then South Carolina is going to play either Oklahoma or Indiana. They are playing
right today.
I think they just started maybe 30 minutes ago. And Oklahoma has an early lead in the first half, 26-22.
Okay. So all right.
They would play, they'll place the winner of that is going to play South Carolina in the Sweet 16.
Go whoever the other team is playing South Carolina.
Yes. Decaf, I will be leaving Wednesday. So I'll be here tomorrow. Are you and Jesse here on Wednesday?
I think so. I would have to double check the old schedule, but I believe he and I are a go for Wednesday.
Okay.
I believe.
And then I will be back on Thursday. I'll have a show. I'll up in the hotel room in Albany. So I'll be here Thursday. Don't know what time the game is going to be yet. So if we have another early game and there's an opportunity, we might do something like this where, slide in and
we'll see.
Post it up afterwards.
Yeah,
you're not going to be here Friday though, right?
I am going to be in Eastern Michigan with my son.
That's what I thought. So
yes.
If there's a show Friday, it's going to be Jesse and I. So it'll depend on when the game is.
Right. Friday. I honestly don't even remember what time we're going to be up there. I mean, there's a chance we could be back. I we'll have to see how it goes.
That's right. Scott, great win, great season. No matter what happens, I'll be in Albany. Sean, we'll maybe get a chance to say hi to my family. All right. Look me up.
Nice.
Yep. Looking forward to it.
Oh, Decaf saw 230 for the game.
What?
I don't see how they would have had that figured out already, but you never know.
They've already announced a game time?
Well,
is that what someone is saying?
Yeah, he's saying he saw 230.
My man, Brandon Valoria, who lives in Albany, he was a pitcher on Notre Dame's 2002 College World Series team. I've seen him and his family up in Syracuse when we've been up there with women's basketball the last 2 years. He just sent me a message that they will be there.
Nice.
Friday. So looking forward to seeing one of the old College World Series guys rolling in on Friday. It's going to be a lot of – never been to Albany before. I have no idea what to expect. Have you been to Albany before?
I have never been to New York State.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So –
I want to look and see. Tamika Catchings. That's who was doing the game. Okay, Tamika Catchings. I didn't recognize her. That's like a name from the past. One of the Tennessee players.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was Tamika Catchings doing the game. So if you have flack, you have flack with Tamika, I guess. I don't know. So I can't say one way or the other.
That's great.
All right, well, that's going to do it for tonight. We're going to wrap it up with that. We started with a little football, ended with a little basketball. We will be back tomorrow. We will have a full rapid-fire slate. So we'll be back in with some rapid-fire tomorrow. Vince, enjoyed it as always.
Yes, sir.
Little women's basketball post-game.
Got to go shag some balls now out of the field. So, the work is never done, Sean Stiers.
I'm going to wrap it up with this. One request from you. Like you've probably seen Brian's, if you're a subscriber to the Champions Lounge, you've probably seen Brian's post about there's some different things going on with, the way Apple counts its podcast downloads. And I've done a little research. Hang tight if you would real quick. Just pay attention because people have asked, how can I help out IB, because things are, there's some stuff going on with the website and the SI stuff. There's stuff going on with the podcasts as well. Here's what I would say. Even if you watch on the, because of the way Apple is counting its downloads right now. Like, I don't, does it make sense to go into complete detail about the way they're doing it? It's a little complicated.
Yeah, you can gloss.
Basically, from what I understand, even if you subscribe to Apple, to like to a podcast on Apple, like if you subscribe to it the way it used to do it, they would automatically download. But now what's happening is if you subscribe to a podcast, but you're not actively listening to it over like a couple week period or something like that,
they'll stop downloading.
They stop downloading automatically. Yeah. And this is a new development. So yes. If you want to help out IB, there's an easy solution. And I've started doing this in the morning. Just get up in the morning, you know, subscribe to Irish Breakdown. Get up in the morning, just push play. And even if like you're jumping in the shower or doing something else, just let it, you know, play for a few minutes. And that keeps the downloads downloading and it helps us out greatly.
Yep.
I mean, greatly, just by doing something simple like that. Or even if, you know, like if you watch on the YouTube at night, you know, again, just get up the next morning, hit play on a podcast on Irish Breakdown, and that helps us out quite a bit. I think it will help us, you know, through this new way that Apple is, you know, counting their downloads, because it is affecting our bottom line right now because they have switched things up. That's all I would say. But yes, we appreciate all of our IB listeners and viewers and everybody else. But that's a simple little fix that would help us out quite a bit. Just hit play. That's all you got to do.
That's it. Easy peasy.
And with that, Spotify has not switched their thing up, David. But if you're not, Father David, but I mean, the more you hit play, regardless of what platform, that just helps us out. Let's put it that way. So like, even if you, you know, if you're a typically, you know, like you've got Spotify, whatever, like it's going to help us no matter what platform you hit play on. On YouTube, no changes, Brando, but the audio platform affects our bottom line.
Right.
A lot.
So on YouTube, you know, like it, subscribe, you know, notification bell, that kind of stuff. Right. That's what helps us on YouTube.
Right. Right.
Yep. So thanks for bearing with us on that.
Yeah.
Appreciate you guys.
I hope that made sense. But appreciate you no matter what. We appreciate all of our, you know, because we're just in that, we're in the time of year where some people kind of hibernate a little bit. They're not active until the actual season starts. Hey,
I get it.
We appreciate everybody that's here throughout the year, no matter what.
Yeah, we do.
We will talk to you tomorrow. Hit that like button before you leave. You know what to do otherwise. And we'll talk to you tomorrow on IB Nation Sports Talk.